means to you and I now, which Connor and I are going to do in a moment, but also what it meant in Jesus' mouth when he said it. And then I want to contrast it with a word that I understand strikes fear into a lot of hearts. I want to see what the difference is between a witness and an evangelist, or doing evangelism. Scary. So, before we go any further, Connor, you're the champion of children.
Yes, well, I am standing here for a reason.
You are.
Yeah. Maybe we could get... maybe we could get some young helpers for this interactive section of the message. Exciting. Terry's, do you want to get involved? Is he?
Yeah.
Happy. Does Astrakhan want to get involved? Yeah. Any Finleys? No? That's fine. No? Great. Any adults want to get involved? Oh, here's a Finley as well. Come on, really. No, four is enough. Okay, great.
Can't cope.
Thank you for being here.
So, we're going to see what we think the word witness might mean. So, unprepared, Connor and I are going to do an amazingly professional skit. And you're...
The level of how I did the notices.
Yeah. And you four are going to tell us what you hear. Okay, so you've got to just concentrate a bit. All right?
Okay. I'm sure I can find something out. The top box is a reward. Okay. Just as a little incentive.
So.
Yes, Mark.
Connor, is there a football match later?
Apparently there is. I don't know much about it, but apparently it's coming home.
Who's the striker for England, Connor?
Apparently, I've heard through the grapevine. it's Russo.
Russo. No, a bit, sort of, yes. Wasn't she sent off?
No, that was another one.
Oh, okay.
James.
James. I haven't been watching.
Yeah, James.
Okay. So are we going to win?
Yes.
Okay.
Convincingly. We're going to win
5-2.
You heard it here first.
You heard it first. Right. That's us.
That's a skip down. Great.
So, can any of you tell Connor or I something we just said?
Remember, sweets are possibly available.
Connor said that they were going to win the football match 5-2.
Oh, please don't help me do that, though. When we lose.
Anyone else? Do you remember anything?
Connor said it was coming home.
Do you notice they don't remember a thing I say?
Mark asked whether Russo got a red card or not.
Oh, thank you, mate. I like you a lot.
Someone said James.
James.
James, yeah, well done. Are we done?
That's okay.
Okay, great. You're done.
Well done.
Thank you, children. So, that's hopefully what a witness is. It's someone who sees something and hears something and tells us what they've heard and seen. So hopefully that's helped with the word a little bit. Oh, near picture. Here's the core of what I'd like to share with you today. Before I get there, I just want to tell you about last night, because it was pretty awful and terrifying for me, really. We had, I think, 5,000 21-year-old girls in our house. It felt like 5,000. It was probably 16 or 18. I can't remember. And we went out for 3 hours, came back, and they were still there, waiting for their minibus to go out till 5 o'clock this morning, which they managed to come in and wake the dog, who thought it was a burglar. And anyway, I was here early. But what was interesting is once we got in there and they decided to chat to us because the old people had arrived and you've got to be nice to them, was almost instantly they wanted stories about Grace because it was her birthday, or they wanted to tell stories about Grace. And I just watched how instinctive it is for us to tell stories. And maybe stories are something to do with witness. We just do it, but then we clam up when it's about Jesus sometimes. But the core of that, that's the wrong slide. Can we go on one, please? It's really this difference. And whether we really need to be these experts or whether we actually just need to tell stories, I wonder, have we complicated this command Jesus gives us to be his witnesses? Maybe there's an easier, more natural way of encouraging us to do what is in fact lurking on every single page of the Bible anyway. Certainly in Acts and the New Testament, people were telling the story of Jesus. I think we all know in our hearts that Jesus wants us to tell others about the kingdom, his reign as the king from the very day he was resurrected. That reign that gives us hope, that gives us joy, that gives us forgiveness, that gives us love, that gives us rejuvenation. All the things he's made open to us as humanity and mankind. He wants us to talk about that. And it's kind of weird, isn't it? Because if I was in the middle of a desert and I found an oasis and you guys were the other side of the hill, I'd probably come and tell you there was some water. I hope I would. Well, maybe I wouldn't. No, I would. And wouldn't you? So, let's unpack our understanding, or perhaps a big misunderstanding, of these words in front of us, because I'm sure it's going to help, and I'm absolutely sure it's going to change outcomes of lives. So, it's a very common word in the New Testament. Whoever said 263 can start adding up now. It's very extensive in the Old Testament as well. Did anyone get the number right in their head? Doesn't matter. There's, as I said, only Connor gives out Haribos. It's interesting, I think, that we get our word martyr from the word witness that was in the Hebrew and the Greek. Martyr, eh? So a witness is a martyr. The concept of witness is used very sparingly in the Synoptic Gospels, but it comes in like a rush of wind in John and the book of Acts and onwards. No, sorry, you're rushing me ahead. I can't catch. So, in Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends..." Yeah, you can't see that one at the back. "Ends of the earth." And then again in Acts 22, it says, "For you will be my witness." There's a lot of talk of witness. There's lots of talk of going out and telling the story. After all, a witness tells us of what they know personally, what they have seen, what they've learned, what they've experienced themselves. The kids just did it. No two witnesses' statements are ever the same in a courtroom. I don't know if you know that. And if it was, there'd be an investigation. Because we don't do that. Bits, the important bits match. Key elements will be there, but we will all be seeing it from the left or from the right. Same story, slightly different because it's coming out of our head. The witness is always yours. It will have a common thread, as I've just said, and lots of it will match up. But just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they told us the same story, but they just saw it from their angle. Sorry, next one. Evangelist. Evangelism is much less popular as a word. I found it three times, which is interesting. It's a word that just that denotes mainly someone who seems to have a calling, seems to have an office almost, or an appointment to the role. It seems to be someone who practices maybe a lot and is sent out. So as you can see here in Acts 21, Philip is described as an evangelist. And in those times, just as like we did in the Middle Ages, you would describe someone by what they did. So Simon the Tanner, Philip the Evangelist. Not Paul the Evangelist. If you look further into Ephesians 4, it gets even more explicit. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. That sounds like giving jobs. But we are all called to be witnesses. Perhaps a way to think about it is that an evangelist is the guy you bring your people to when you've witnessed to them. I mean, if you think about it, evangelism feels like you've really got to have a theology degree and a master's too, doesn't it? Because when you go and sit with your friend who you love and you just want them to know Jesus, you've got to have it down, haven't you? Because he's going to ask you that really weird question about Tyrannosaurus Rex. And if you don't know it, he's going to be just stay an atheist forever, isn't he? Of course. That's a lot of pressure on us, isn't it? And I think Jesus knew that. And so the idea of carrying our book of arguments and a little trolley full of pamphlets behind us to meet our friend for a coffee and then ambush them with how clever we are. No wonder that scares us. I do that, though. It's just a bit weird. Evangelists are called to be the person that understands the depth, but that isn't the same as the person who has witnessed. Interestingly, in Paul's time, when he was setting up the church in Ephesus and the other churches, they had an equivalent of Alpha. Did you know that? You think I'm making it? Look, stop laughing, Stuart. It's not funny. They did. I did my research. The problem is Penny needs to be up here because I can't say it. It was called Catechumenat. And what happened was you came along, someone witnessed to you, you got interested, you joined the church, and you went on the Catechumenat. Probably for a couple of years. And you would be discipled. And you would be taught by an evangelist. So it seems Paul and his churches knew to witness to people, and when they came along, they knew they then had to teach them. Not the same thing. What I'm trying to tease out, you're beginning to see a little bit of difference between that word evangelist and being a witness. A call to be a witness is extensive. You are called to it, but not everyone is called to evangelism. Maybe that's a moment we will go, amen. Being a witness is grounded in every line of the Bible. It's not just in the New Testament. And if it's God's plan to turn us all back to him, he knows we need not just to hear it, we need to see it. We need to touch it. We need to know it. We're humans. He designed us. So what? So bear with me, but I'd like to back this up a little bit into the Bible. Witness is vital in church, calling out to people about the kingdom of God. That must be obvious. It is more than just numbers saved, though. It's not just a ticker tape of people, although surely that's part of it. I think the most interesting thing is that it's the foundation of Christianity. It is witness to something that happened. It's a historic religion. It's not a mystical religion. It's based on history and grown by the Spirit. The coming of Jesus, which was witnessed, was the culmination of thousands of years recorded in the history of the Jews, Judah and Israel. This was all written down. The coming of the light to the darkness of the pagan world was noted. You see, the world, I don't think, was that different then to now. They had loads of gods and they had loads of laws. They knew all about gods. They might be the ones on Mount Olympus and the temples of Rome. They may be the mystical religions of Egypt, the pharaohs. They might even be the people who didn't like God but followed the Stoics or the Epicureans and all those other things the Greeks used to sit around and do. Did anyone have a job in Greece? Oh, I was going to do a really bad joke about now as well, but I'll move on. The Judeo-Christian relationship with God was utterly different. Our relationship with him is utterly different. Our modern versions of the Greeks and the Romans and the gods of Egypt and the Stoics are here today, be it New Age, be it the deity of self, be it cynicism, be it mysticism. It's no different now. But why say all this? I say it because I want you to be witnesses. And I want you to be sure it's okay to be witnesses, because from page one of the Bible, it's witnessing. From the Jews, then to Jesus' followers, they all claimed to witness a different relationship to any other the world had known or to any other religion. You see, the Olympian gods were shut out of sight from all of us and they were off in the clouds. I'm a bit scared because Sundeep's over there and she knows all about this. So I'm not saying any more about that. No one has ever shook hands with Zeus. No one has ever had a lunch with Jupiter. No one has ever rowed out a storm in a little boat with Isis. Those deities have never worn sandals. Their feet never touched the earth. They have never soiled. They've never been soiled by the dust of the road when they walk along beside you. The writers of the Bible could point to meeting, experiencing, and knowing God, and so can you. They could and did witness God, so can you. This was not a mythology, this is history, and so can you attest to that history as a witness. Jesus was never a God shut out of sight. He was born in an animal stall of an overcrowded cave in a small village located on a place you can go now, who was accessible to both the humble and the great, and ended up a refugee in Egypt. Might have been that way. Who lived and taught on the soil of a Roman province that we know exists, who had identifiable disciples, visited identifiable places, I can go now, ran into trouble with the law, which I've never done, under an identifiable Roman procurator, who was condemned to death, executed and buried by people we can identify, and appeared alive to some of them following his death and burial. This was not a historically isolated phenomenon, appearing out of the blue, like, oop, there's Jesus. It was a culmination of a lot of witness, a culmination of thousands of years of the Jewish history witnessing Yahweh in action. While other religions speculated about what on earth the gods were up to, the Jews just told the story. So why anchor here? Because I think if we're going to be witnesses, I want to be sure someone else has done it. And a lot of people have done it. It's in your Bible. And it's very clearly God's plan. His Bible is a witness statement. Can you do the next one, buddy? I'm watching the time. So, I'm always struck, and I annoy people on Alpha, by saying that Christianity is not a watching faith, it's doing faith. To be a witness is to do something, it's to tell. And, you know, you've got no excuses because those kids were awesome. So you can do it too. But how do we do it? Because even if we haven't got to know the Bible backwards, which is good news, even if we haven't got to know all the facts, which is slightly good news, even if we can take them to Steve and to Connor, the clever guys, because they're the ones that know all the facts. Amen. Did I get a tick there? Yeah, okay. That's all good news, but how do we witness? How do we do that? So, let's get real. You've got some paper. You can do it on your phones if you're cool and trendy, or on your iPads. Now, don't worry. I don't want you to write a witness statement, and I don't want you to write a monologue. And I nicked this from someone else. So, don't worry. Don't even call me clever, but I think it's great. So, here's what I want you to do. If you get it wrong, you're not allowed to leave and you can't watch the football. And you've got 5 minutes only. You ready? Here's the instructions. There are key moments in your life. You can call them stepping stones. You can call them hooks to hang what your life story is. But there are key moments. And they are great things to hook a witness statement around because you're never going to say it the same. You're not going to say it to the doctor the same as you say it to your best friend, as you say it to the guy at the bus stop when you've got the bus is coming, you've got 12 seconds. It's always going to be different, but there are like key moments that matter, that tell your story. There are no rules, but that's a good one. And remember, I don't want to hear any Bible verses. This is your witness. The evangelist is going to bring the Bible verses for you. You don't need to worry. So, two ways I've seen to do it, which is great. Pick 6 words that you can easily always remember. And they're your hooks. They're your stepping stones of your life. A friend of mine has her 6, and they are married, loss, sadness, surprise, unbelievable experience, joy. They're locked in her head. And she just talks around those. And that's her testimony. Takes her about 2 minutes to do it, or half an hour, depending on what she's got. But those words always occur. So it's nice and easy. I'm not that clever, so I like 2 words. So you could go for a 2-word option. So 6 words or 2 words. Before or after? Pretty easy. Probably a little more interesting. I discovered it was true, then I experienced it was true. So your choice, 2 or 6. If everyone does 2, I know you want to go to the football. And just jot them down. No test. Shall I get them up? No, we won't get people up embarrassed. O'Connor wants to get you up and embarrass you. Just give it 5 minutes and just pick those words. Is it clear? Have I made it make sense? Okay. Teacher will walk around, and if you need any help, just ask. How are we doing? Done. That was very confident, Steve. What's yours, Steve?
Upbringing, found, discovery, grow, share, life.
Cool. Anyone else want to share? Why am I doing the walking?
Loss, grace, love, and uniqueness, if that's a word. But if it's not now, it is.
That's really good. Anyone else want to share? No? So the idea is pretty simple. Those words get locked in your brain. And when someone says, why are you so weird? You can say, I'm so weird because, and they just, the words will fall out of them. I've tried it. So mine is 2, and it is just, I learned it was real, and then I experienced it was real. And I just hang around those 2. So it's nice. Anyway. Thank you for indulging me. Use it. It's useful. Go home and play with it. It really did help me when I learned that. And hopefully it will help you. Be genuine. It's your story. Don't embellish it. They'll see the truth as you tell it. But get Jesus in there, please. Come on. Get him in there somewhere. Get him in. Don't just tell them you've had a great career. Boring. Right. So I'm going to hand over to James now, and thank you. I hope that helped.